Merry Christmas. Good to see you all. Wow, like they said, this year, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, we lost a week. It didn't feel like it? What happened? It's like Christmas should be like a week from now.
Yeah.
But it's not. Well, welcome. And I'm not sure if, did you all get a handout or anything like that? You probably didn't. I think it's a few of you didn't get some. Let me get back here. Yeah. This is an interesting scripture we'll be going through. And just so to set yourself free here a little bit, we're not going to be reading through the whole scripture. Daniel 9 is a big scripture, but we're going to kind of go over an overview here and talk a little bit about God's perfect timing. God's perfect timing. And believe it or not, in the scripture is his perfect timing for our Savior's birth, to exactly what happened here. Amazing time. A lot of prophets, there's over 300 references to Jesus' life in the prophets in the Old Testament. 300. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, all you read, many prophets, Hosea, talk about Jesus and his life and his birth and his death and his resurrection. That all comes through there. And Daniel was interesting at the time, and we're going to go into that. It's a little bit deep. I think if Jim did a study on Daniel, it'll last 16 weeks. And maybe just 16 weeks of Daniel 9. There's so much to it that's involved with it. So let's go to prayer first. Heavenly Father, just lift us up, Lord. Just lift up our spirits. Just thank you, Lord, for your son's birth and for Christmas time here and for our families. Lord, just may we tune into you this morning. And Lord, just learn a little bit about your timing, your perfect timing, and not only bringing the Savior to earth, but also, Lord, just your timing within our own lives. Thank you, Lord, for being with us and for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So, a little bit of background. I think many of you remember what the exile happened. Jerusalem was destroyed, and the Jewish people went to Babylon. Okay? This is kind of the quick story here. And Jeremiah was one of the prophets, and he said there's going to be 70 years of exile. They're going to be gone for 70 years. Well, that's like a couple, three generations. That's a long time that the Jewish people are out. And Daniel had great expectation because he knew there's only like 3 years left before the exile was over. He's in Babylon as well. And he's waiting. He says, only 3 more years left. And he went to prayer at that time. This is a prayer. The first part that you see of Daniel 9, and it's the first 19 verses, is a prayer that Daniel gives. And it's a great model of prayer. It really is. Not a lot of people think about this as prayer. We hear like the Lord's Prayer as a model of prayer. But this is also an excellent one. First of all, Daniel comes in front of the Lord and confesses sin. And I think that's what a lot of us do. When we go to prayer, we say, Lord, I'm sorry. I kind of messed up today. Something happened. But he takes on not only his own problems, he takes on the problems of the Jewish nation itself. And he takes ownership for it, which is sort of an amazing part of this prayer. He takes actual ownership for it. And he identifies with the sins of the Jewish people. We see that before with Moses. We see that before with other prophets that are within, throughout the what we call the Old Testament. But it's interesting, he understands what sin is too. It's not necessarily a bad habit, but it's actually ingrained in the people. It's kind of ingrained in us. It's kind of a strange thing. We're going to mess up, and we do. And he actually takes ownership for that within his own people, which is really something. So he then goes into a plea for mercy, and he really has a good grasp of what God's grace is through this prayer. And this is found through 15 through 19. He goes into a merciful prayer. He's begging for mercy. Even though we don't deserve it, Lord, we know your grace is so good that he will give us that type of mercy. And he ends with something that's interesting, and we see it in other parts of Scripture where he says, thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And this is interesting because it's pretty bold when you actually try to get God to remember something he said, right? And you see that throughout Scripture. It's like, Lord, you remember you loved your people, so you're going to be bringing them out of exile, and all is going to be good, right? You know, and so it's interesting how God works in that we're able to converse with him in real time, in real matters, and being real with him. And that's all he expects. He wants that kind of conversation with us. You know, he looks forward to that kind of conversation. In fact, what happens? All of a sudden, the Lord sends an angel. He sends Gabriel right at this point. Whoa. Can you imagine the glory of Gabriel himself coming to you in a prayer? Now, if it's Michael, you're in trouble. If it's Michael showing up, that's warfare. That's something going to warfare. But Gabriel shows up. It's kind of a teaching moment, what's happening here. And Gabriel kind of sets him straight. He says, okay, you think this is this timing, what's going to be happening, you're all going to be released here in 3 years. Because all the prophets said 70 years is as long as the exile of your people are going to be. But you think it's three. Well, I hate to tell you, it's seven times 70 years. That's what Gabriel says. It's seven times 70. Now, we're not going to get into this breakdown here, what's going on, because it's amazing what's going, how he Gabriel breaks this down, what's going to happen. There's three segments to these 70 years. The first segment is 7 times 70 years, okay? 49 years that's happening. And the 49 years that's coming up, is that's the rebuilding of Jerusalem, okay? And then there is 62 seven-year periods coming through, okay? 62. Now, if you did, let me see if I did the math right here. Let's take a quick peek. That's 434 years. That what's going to happen? 434 years. They wait. And if you do the math, this is the most amazing thing. If you do the math, now it meets both Jeremiah's and Daniel's prophecies when you add them up to the date of this birth. That he's saying, Gabriel's saying, in this period of time, and that's a lot of generations, right? That's a lot of generations. That could be 23, it could be, you know, marriages were happening pretty quick back then, like every 15 years, so it could be like 40 generations of people coming through, that they were waiting. They were waiting for the Messiah to come. They knew the Messiah was coming. And he goes into more detail in this, Gabriel does, and even shares the second coming. Pretty exciting. And that's what we're waiting for right now. It's the second coming of Christ, right? And he spells out that last 7 years. He leaves 7 years aside. And we see through other prophets what's going to happen through that 7 years. You know, there's 2, 3.5s. Won't go into much detail. It's kind of scary. But a lot of things are going to be happening in that 7 years when Christ returns. But we're given that glimpse within the word itself. What's interesting is history doesn't really show, and doing some digging and such like that, it really doesn't show what the timing of Jerusalem's build was. In other words, we have the 49 years of Jerusalem's rebuilt. We have the 434 years, I have to keep looking down, for the wait period, okay, before the Messiah comes. Okay, we don't know exactly when that start is, but from best the scholars can put together here, because a lot of things happen, a lot of paperwork happens before Jerusalem actually gets rebuilt. There has to be a decree by Cyrus, which is, again, foretold by Isaiah. Wow, that the actual name, the person that gave the decree to allow Jerusalem to be rebuilt was given by Isaiah. That happened, you know, which is really cool. There's also a lot of breakdown here. Isaiah 44, Leviticus 26, 1 Kings 8, Jeremiah 3, Hosea 5, all reflect exactly what this timing is, you know, to Jesus' birth. And best we can tell, within a few years, that's exactly what occurs here. And also the prophecy is that the Jerusalem will be torn back down again, and it's torn back down again by the Romans 70 years after the Messiah is coming. And exactly that happens. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. You know, everything focusing on the Messiah himself. Something you can't deny. It's just, it all came to fruition with God's perfect timing. So, 24 generations plus. What a time to wait. A long time to wait. And I like the way Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Church says it. It's a long time to wait in God's waiting room. Isn't it? How many of you have been in God's waiting room? Oh, yeah. We pray for things. We don't see it happening right away. But we're sitting in that waiting room. Isaiah 49:8. At the right time, I will hear your prayers. On the day of salvation, I will help you. Another translation, I am the Lord, and when it is time, I will make these things happen quickly. The waiting room. It's interesting about the waiting room. There's a purpose behind the waiting room. Catherine, she's been involved with medicine for a long period of time. She likes to watch. I go home, I like sports. Like, give me a football game, give me something, you know, on TV, I'll watch sports. But she watches medical shows. And one time I was watching this medical show, and they were breaking it down why there was a waiting room. You notice that you go let's just say you had an emergency, you go in the emergency room, and you have a waiting room, and there you are. And then when you come out of the waiting room, you go into the triage room, or whatever room they want to call it there. It's like, and you wait. Sometimes you wait longer. But there's something happening during that wait. You know, the toughest thing about how many like going to the doctor? Did you ever figure out why you don't like going to the doctor?
Because of the wait time, right.
Because of the wait. But what's happening during that waiting time? There's some learning of patience. There's other stuff you could be doing. Yeah, it's so true, so true. You know what the doctors and nurses are waiting for? They're waiting for you to submit. They're waiting for you to calm down and to be able to take instruction and to do what they ask you to do. They're waiting for a time for submission. That's the hardest thing. When you go in for an operation, can you imagine? You're going to be put out, you're going to be opened up, and you're going to want to submit. I went through that not too long ago. I went through that type of thing. I went into the hospital. They couldn't figure out what's wrong with me. I had a lot of pain. They did MRIs. They did CT scans. They did everything like that. They couldn't find it. And finally, this doctor came up to me. He says, you know, I went to school, is what the doctor said. And he says, I need to open you up and figure out what's wrong. And I can do that. Would you let me do that? Well, it took me 2 days of pain to submit to that. Scary thing, you know. And they found what was wrong, praise the Lord. But they just said, are you ready? Are you ready to submit? That's what the waiting room's all about. That's what God's waiting room is all about. We all have needs. What are we trying to fulfill our needs in our time or in His time? Right? Are we trying to figure this out in our time or His time? And when we talk about time, which is just something that's sort of a sidelight, God created time. And He operates outside of time. You know, He uses time to test our faith and build our character. That's the whole purpose of it. It's to mature us. Because He's looking for us to be not so strong-willed, because we are. We're a strong-willed people. But He wants us to submit. We're in His waiting room, right? We're waiting in His waiting room. Another thing, too, is because he's about to bless you with something you can't handle. Think about that. His blessings are so big that he's waiting for you to be able to handle what he's about to give you. It's beyond what you're asking for. It's beyond what you're thinking about. As you get older, I'm getting older, you can reflect on those things. You know, you can see how he moves in your own life. When you're younger, you don't get to see that so much. But you can have a promise that he can give you that you are going to be blessed beyond measure. And it's not going to be what you're thinking. You know, that's the other part. You got to be able to accept what he gives you in a way. But at the same time, you got to be able to accept something that is beyond anything you can handle. And you're going to be able to realize that. I had something occur to me this year I was not expecting. And I'm a business person. I run a business. Been doing it for over 40 years. And you kind of take pride in running a business. It's kind of a bad thing, you know, doing that type of deal. You kind of get full of yourself sometimes, even though you don't think you are because you're this elder guy. You shouldn't be doing that type of thing. But, you know, you get caught up in it. And I was... past couple years, after a few changes in the business, things are going really well. Things are going, actually, I could call it, it's sustainable, which is really important, that it's going to exist for a while, and it's maintaining its own, very important. Hadn't been doing that for like 10 years. And I thought, wow, I'm doing a pretty good job. You know, and an odd thing happened. The Lord blessed the business with a loan, and I didn't need it. I said, I don't need that loan. But the bank says, hey, you're doing so well, here. Here's a loan, just in case you need it. But they want to make money. They want to make money in that loan. Here you go. I'm going, I don't need it. The Lord knew by the end of the year, right now, I needed every penny to keep that business open. He already knew. He takes you up beyond. He is working beyond time and space. God is that way, omnipotent, omnipresent. He is already there meeting your need while you're working through it yourself. And what we need to do, again, we're in that waiting room, submit, allow him to work it through. You know, get off of ourselves and work it through. I like what Rick Warren says. He is much more interested in you than what you're trying to accomplish. He's interested in you. He's not interested in what you're doing. He's not interested in what accolades that you've got. He's interested in you. He wants to know you. That's the most important thing. And what are you going to take to heaven anyway? You're going to take accomplishments? You're taking you. That's the only thing he's important in. And one thing I like to say, too, is like, take a look around you. Take a look around you. Okay? You may think you know each other now, but be prepared to know each other for eternity. Whoa. That's a long time, folks. We get to know each other forever. And that's what a blessing that is going to be. Delays can be in God's design, and he's preparing us for that. I'm going to read Isaiah one more time. At the right time, I will hear your prayers. On the day of salvation, I'll help you. He's preparing a way for us. He's preparing that time. And look at that scripture closely. He doesn't say might take care of things. He says he will take care of things for you. What a gracious Father we have. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for your Son and for that time frame that you've given us, Lord, as far as showing us that you're in control of the whole situation and that we're to be impatient, even for generations, even as we are right now, Lord, waiting for you to return. And it could take generations. Lord, what a glorious time that'll be. And what a glorious time it'll be in heaven. Lord, I think about your son's birth. And I know what kind of party's being thrown every time somebody calls you Lord and enters the kingdom, Lord, knows you through faith. I can't imagine what the heavens are like when Lord you were born. I can't even imagine what was going up there. The singing, the praising, as you came as a baby to us Christmas Day. Lord, just thank you so much for coming here, being part of us, and continue to be part of us through your Holy Spirit. Lord, continue to grow us. Lord, may we give you a gift this season, and that's give you us. Not what we've done, not what you're about to give us, but give us ourselves. And Lord, may we submit to you. And may we accept that waiting room that you've given us in our lives. Lord, we know that you're going to do good things. You do things for our protection before we even know it. You do things and help us in ways and journeys that, of our lives that we can't even understand. But may we have enough faith, Lord, that we accept what's happening through this journey and knowing that greater days and greater times are to come. And we just look for that time that we join you in that heavenly kingdom. What a marvelous time it'll be. Lord, we ask you now, just as a family, as we are right now, CBF, that we can break bread together, join this time together, and fellowship in you. Lord, just thank you so much. You blessed us in so many ways. And Lord, particularly this church. And Lord, we lift up the families here in Skyway. So many here, Lord. So many struggling. May they come to find you, Lord, and find peace amongst their struggles. And know that you're greater than any of the troubles that we've got. Lord, may we acknowledge that. So thank you, Lord. Be with us, Lord. Just Merry Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.